You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Ilda Mason, welcome to Token Theater Friends. I'm so happy to have you because, as you can see, I'm a huge West Side Story fan, and you have so many West Side Stories in your life. You know, like, not only are you in the new Spielberg movie, which is fantastic, and you're absolutely amazing in it, you were also in the Ivo van Hove revival from before the pandemic, but also I saw in your credits that you did it also as Signature and also at Paper Mill. So how did you end up just being immersed? Are you like the world's biggest West Side Story fan?
You know, it's been the biggest blessing, honestly, because I didn't know, and this is terrible, but I did not know West Side Story when I was back in Panama. I moved to New York City 8 years ago from Panama. I'm from Panama. And I was welcomed with like, oh, you're a Latina and you dance. Oh, you should be in West Side Story. And which is such a great gift. It was such a blessing to be put into that like category, because West Side Story is such a masterpiece, you know? And I was very fortunate that the first professional job that I had here was West Side Story at Signature Theater. It was incredible because it was the first time I was doing it, and I was surrounded by such talented people that there was nothing to do but learn and enjoy being there. I felt always so, I don't know, I felt like I mattered. Like I could tell my story, like I could share my culture because I was the only one in the cast who spoke Spanish. So that was like, they asked me like, okay, so how do you pronounce this? Or it was really nice to be, you know, taken account of. Like that I was like, I felt a part of it. That was my first ever West Side Story. And I mean, the biggest fortune ever since to be able to do it four times.
I'm really curious. And I have to ask you this because it's kind of like you're building up towards another part. Like you played different parts every time you've done it. So who are the characters that you're missing that you're like, okay, here's my West Side Story checklist. I want to do this one next.
Well, I mean, my dream role has always been Anita. However, now that I have done Luz in the movie, now I think, no, I to me, like, Ariana is Anita, you know? It's like, Rita is Anita. Like, those are like, I think for now, I think West Side is like cemented with me. I would say that like my dream roles are now roles that haven't been written. I want to do more acting. I want to do more acting for film and TV. And I dream to do, I don't know, a bit of everything. I want to play characters that are super out there, like in Christopher Nolan movies or Denis Villeneuve, or very down to earth, like in Marriage Story, or work with directors like Greta Gerwig. Like it's just, I feel like the world is my oyster. That's how I feel about acting. Like, I want to be able to explore so much more. So those would be my dream characters, like my dream roles. It's roles that have not been created yet.
I love that. Go conquer the world then.
Thank you.
I grew up on West Side Story. In fact, mi abuela Ana, who was my favorite person in the world, I used to call her Anita. And then when she introduced me to West Side Story, it was this like moment of bonding. I mean, like, I feel like I'm wearing my mi abuela when I wear like my Anita t-shirt or whenever I'm watching West Side Story. So you said that you weren't familiar with it when you were in Panama. So what was that first impression when you first listened to that score and the incredible Stephen Sondheim lyrics?
My God, it was like traveling in time and watching a full movie without like images. It was like the music to this day. I like, after watching a movie, I cannot get the scherzo out of my head. You know, a full score, a full everything. And the scherzo is in like ingrained in me. It's so wonderful what music can do to you. Like, it's my favorite part in the whole show is during prologue when it changes to bum, 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 bum. That's my favorite part. Like, I don't even know why exactly, but there is just a visceral reaction to that. It's magical. I would just say it's pure magic.
I agree. I mean, sorry, you're a professional singer, I'm not, but my favorite little moment is in the gym dance when it's like, you know, like the mambo, bum, 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 bum. I always get chills when that comes up. And I love, you know, like going back to the movies and going back to the theater and going, just leaving the house during the pandemic has been such a weird experience. And it was so refreshing and so beautiful to go to West Side Story, and first of all, to just like have that score, just like, it's like it immerses you in this different world, like you said, you're traveling in time. And assuming you've seen yourself in the movie, what was that experience like? Because, you know, stage performers don't really get that opportunity very often.
Yeah, no, it was very surreal. I don't think anyone's ever like prepared for it. It's been my dream. Like, I literally left my country to do this, to do film and TV. So to finally see it, it took everything in me to not just cry the whole time. At the end, I then started sobbing when I saw the credits and I saw my name there. That's when I then started sobbing uncontrollably. It felt like so much, like it was the fruit of a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifice and many things that finally came to be. That's what it felt like. And you know, it didn't take my effort. It took so many people's support to have me be here today. So it meant more than words can actually describe.
Since you've done West Side Story with so many different directors, it means that every time you've done a production of it, you're entering that world through the mind and through the eyes and through the creativity of someone else. So I'm wondering if you're comfortable sharing, what are some insights that each of the productions and each of the directors have provided to make this West Side Story universe like take even a more holistic form for you? Because I imagine that Evo's and Steven Spielberg's directing styles are very different.
Yes, I would say that those two are definitely the most contrasting ones, just because Steven's version was more like the traditional, like the story that we all know and love. They put a lot of heart into it and into giving the Latinx people a voice. And I would say that Evo's version was a more deconstructed version of West Side Story because the whole team made it just so that you would have to kind of see West Side Story for the first time ever. Like, the dance steps would be completely different, the dance style, everything. the music, the story was all the same. However, by just changing how it looked and how bringing it to 2020 back then, it just made it a little more real and less show-like, you know? It was like Officer Krupke was so, it dealt with police brutality in such a raw way because the actor playing action was black. So then you are presented with a whole new point of view. Now, Spielberg's version, yes, it is still the original story that takes place in the 50s. However, it's not just that. You can see a bit more in depth of what the character, not a bit, a lot more in depth of what the characters are going through by expanding the world of West Side Story. Now you can see where they live and the situation that they're in, how they're being evicted, how they're not just fighting, the gangs are not just fighting because like, oh, I don't like you because you're not from here. No, this is a fight for survival, for territory. That's all they have because they are actually, you know, in such a terrible position. It's way more than we, I think, had an idea these characters were going through at the time. So it's really nice to see like the history part of what people in San Juan Hill were living in the late 50s.
Mm. I'm gonna ask you for a second to put on your architect hat, because I know that you studied architecture, and I've always thought of West Side Story specifically as a very architectural musical, and the terms that, you know, like you were talking about displacement and gentrification, but also like there's so much in the musical that takes place in like buildings. Like buildings are kind of like, this sounds like I'm making no sense. Like everything takes place in buildings. But what I mean is like buildings and like fire escapes and construction and things changing constantly. Like for instance, I love that contrast that exists between, you know, the building and the creation of a place that's as revered as Lincoln Center is now, but what that meant for all those people who were displaced. And it's like, you know, like is it art and culture or people's homes and all of that? And knowing that you have an architecture background, I'm wondering if you can like share any architectural insights about also the ways in which the dancers move in those spaces.
Oh, wow. I would say that, wow, that is such a different question and something that I had not ever thought about, because I am, as a dancer, I'm used to just dancing on stage. However, now we were given the opportunity to be on the streets of New York City, a city so full of culture, so rich in every single thing that you can think of. And we had to adapt and rehearse in those conditions as well. We got a couple of days of rehearsal on the streets. We rehearsed in Paterson, New Jersey. We actually shot part of the dancing sequence of America in Paterson, New Jersey. And I would say that my biggest architectural thing that I don't know, noticed was the sets, just worlds built from scratch. That is a pure art form that we, I think, have gotten so used to that we take for granted. You know, I wish we could do, like, I wish the audience members could step into, like, literally step into this, the world of our West Side Story, because the details were so stunning that it would actually take people to go and look at the details that were everywhere. It's just worlds are literally built, and Even the interior, the things that were shot at interiors at a studio, still built to the point that the apartment building would look exactly like any apartment building of the late 50s. It's so beautiful. It's honestly, it makes me really happy to talk about this, because it's so wonderful to know the many, 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 many different areas in which you can work in or like collaborate that will bring to like will bring together a movie like this, a show, a TV series. It just takes such an amount of talent in so many areas, the best of the best in their own thing. It makes me so happy, because when you do things with love, you just get beautiful results, I believe.
I love that you're saying that they shot, you know, parts of the movie in Patterson, because it's like one of those like little lovely towns that seems like frozen in time. So I can imagine, and sorry if I'm being presumptuous, it must have been like a marriage of everything that you love about the arts, the dancing, music, acting, and then doing that and, you know, like surrounded by historical buildings must have been like incredible. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Yes, it was just an absolute dream. Every single thing. I was just before talking to you, I was trying to like write a post about one of my many memories. I have so many photos and I'm like, I don't even know how to put it out in the world, but I want to put it out so that I can have it as a, like a memory, you know, in time, frozen in time. And like our costumes are like designed by Paul Tazewell. It's like how? It's so stunning. Just every single detail, every single person that worked so hard to make this movie a reality leaves me speechless. It's so much hard work, so much research. And yeah, I think we sometimes don't think about all that takes place for movies or projects, Broadway shows, regional theater shows, like anything to come to fruition. And I think it's really important to also acknowledge the crew and the people that are behind the cameras, because they actually are the ones that are making it all possible.
I don't know what it was like for you, because, you know, West Side Story, the Evo revival, was obviously something that shut down because of the pandemic. And unfortunately, it didn't come back. And I loved that revival so much. So, you know, considering that you started the pandemic with a show that was put on hold and put on pause, and now as we slowly, fingers crossed, are emerging from what was a much, much darker period with more COVID infections and more death, and you're coming out of that moment with the West Side Story movie. So it's this like full circle kind of thing. So how do you feel about that? What was that, you know, this two strange years, what have they been like for you?
Well, I mean, it was, we only found out that our show was not coming back, I believe it was this year, late this year. Yes, which was nice. I'm very thankful for it, because it gave us still a little bit of hope, you know, we just had a little bit of hope. And even last year when they announced that the movie would not come out, I was happy with that decision, because I trust our team. They know what they're doing. And two, I also wanted to have the experience that we're having now. I wanted to be able to share it with our friends and family in the movie theaters. I wanted to go sit in the movie theater and watch our movie, and the celebrations that have happened because of it. It's incredible. I've never been to a world premiere of anything, and this was out of this world completely. It was incredible. It's been also very odd, because we waited so long that then it felt kind of like it didn't happen. It felt like I was in a moment of like growth and yes. And then it all came to a halt. So it was odd, but I have to say that I've been very grateful, because I've had health and my parents have been safe. You know, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Like, our show closed. Yes, it's sad, but it's a job. There will be another one. You know, what, like right now, I think what matters is life and health and to have it so that we can enjoy moments like this one now that it's like come full circle. Now it's actually here. We're actually seeing it. It actually feels very surreal, because we waited so long that now it's like, oh, it's actually happening. Oh, it actually feels weird. But this going to the movies with my parents who flew from Panama to see the movie with me, that's what it's all about. This is, yeah, it gets to be shared with the ones we love.
That's so gorgeous. Have all your primos and primas and tios and tias been calling you and texting you nonstop to be like, we went to see your movie.
Yes, yes, yes. I know that my family in Panama, they're going to go see it, I think this week. So I'm very excited. They're all like having t-shirts made and everything. They're so cute. I'm so excited.
I love that. So you're Panameña and I'm Hondureño. And we grew up in the same part of the world. And it's a part of the world where unfortunately theater and film and television are not an industry. Like, we don't have an industry for that. And I always knew that I had to leave my home country in order to be able to work in what I wanted to work. And can we just like talk about being immigrants and leaving and how, you know, especially with something like West Side Story, where it touches upon that, you know, like having to leave your home, like, you know, like in this case, Puerto Rico, and arriving at a new place that's so different and where you don't have any family. And I wonder what were some, you know, like you said that you wanted to leave Panama specifically to be able to work. At any point when you were little, especially, did you hope that Panama would be able to provide those systems for you in order to not have to leave?
You know, I think I always wanted to leave because I love exploring. I love traveling and I love meeting new cultures and new places. And I was very fortunate that I was actually able to do so. But absolutely, I would love for our countries to be able to provide that so that we did not have to leave. Absolutely, 100%. And I think that that we are working towards it. Like, I know that theater in Panama is, even though like you cannot live off of theater like you do here, it is made with so much love and so much passion that you know that you're in the right hands, that you know that the art is being made by people who love it with their whole hearts and souls. It's what inspired me to do this professionally and as a career. But it also makes me really happy to know that there are many movies and like, I think it is starting. There's more that is starting in Panama, just to speak of my country. There are movies that are being like made there and there's a lot of talent. And I am so excited to see it shine internationally. And yes, I am just so excited for that. And I hope that I can somehow be able to help also in that, like moving forward to making that industry stronger somehow. I don't know how exactly yet, but that's what I aspire to do.
Absolutely. People have been talking a lot about the fact that Steven Spielberg decided not to subtitle the Spanish scenes in West Side Story, which I personally loved. Like, yeah. I felt that I was, you know, like, I felt like, oh my God, Hollywood is addressing me directly and not putting any barriers and not, you know, it's so strange because like we grow up based on thinking that we are the other, that we're always the other. So what was your reaction when you found out that that was going to happen in the movie? It's like, you know, like catch up, everyone else learn some Spanish.
You know, it was really wonderful. It wasn't even like when I knew about it, it was when I was watching the movie. And I did not realize it until like the second, third or fourth time that I watched the movie. I've watched it now 5 times. that I realized, oh, wait, to us, it feels like they're repeating some things, but to the English speaking audiences, it's like, oh, they're catching up to something. And it felt like a gift to us because half of this story it is about our experience as immigrants and as Latinx people. And I think it's really wonderful to be able to give us just that little nod of like, this is for you and only you will understand it. And I hope that people who don't understand it, then they will like reach out and be like, oh, what was it that they said here? Like, why did you laugh at that part? That's my hope for this, that the audience members can come together and like talk about it and see what, like bridge that gap in a way. But it's also, I think, might give the English speaking audiences just a little bit of how we feel sometimes, and not in a bad way, but just like, oh, I see. Kind of like, oh, okay, this is what it feels like when you're somewhere and you don't understand everything. It's just a little taste, because you don't miss anything. Like Tony Kushner made a very specific choice to what would be said in Spanish and what like key things to the plot that would be said in English. So you're not missing out on anything, but I think it's really special. It's a wonderful gift to us Hispanic audience members.
Yeah, it's also like living in New York, right? Like when you're in a subway, like there's people from all over the world, like speaking like 100 different languages. And it's always so beautiful because it's like almost like an invitation to like learn about other cultures and try to be, I don't know, like have more empathy with people who don't come from your same backgrounds.
Yeah. It's, I love also that the like, it's good to have the Spanish just as it is, because so many people in this country speak Spanish, and it should never be like a like speak the language here that, you know, like speak American. It's that is such a, I don't know, I think narrow-minded way of thinking, because why wouldn't we want to like share more languages? Why wouldn't we want to bridge the gap between each other? It's just, I love languages and I love the ability to be able to connect with people from other cultures, and the same reason why I love traveling, you know? So I think that that's very important, and that it should not be chastised, you know, like speaking another language. It should never be, especially as we are making such a big effort to learn their language, of course.
Ilda, can you talk a little bit about the work that you're doing with Abingdon Theater Company right now?
So I am an artist in residence at the Abingdon Theater Company. So I'm so excited about it because I get to work with my fellow artists in residence and I personally, I love learning from them. So I love being inspired by their work and their creative auras and energies. We've already worked in developing a play. And it was just so wonderful to see that part of the process. You know, again, like the behind the scenes, it's especially as someone who, like, I am very much in love with acting. However, I do want to be able to create in the future. So this is such a great experience to grow and learn about so much more in the industry and in theater. And I believe that it will make me like a more wholesome artist at the end of the day. We are also working on this passion project that I cannot say much yet. It's in the works, but I'm very excited because it also talks about some incredible and important themes. I don't want to like mess up and say something that I shouldn't. But I'm just so thankful for this opportunity, and to Chad Austin, the Abingdon Theater Company's artist director, for choosing me to be a part of it, because it's just such an incredible, incredible experience to. Yeah, it just is.
I'm really curious because, you know, I'm a journalist, I'm a critic. So my life and my work usually are very lonesome. Like I spend most of my time in front of my computer or going to performances, but I don't get that opportunity that artists and performers have to create together and to collaborate, like you were saying about West Side Story. So given the period of lockdown and the period of the pandemic that forced us to be at home, what is it like to be back surrounded by people, just like getting those creative juices flowing? Was it something easy for you to like, you know, like, yes, I needed this so bad, I'm back?
You know, it, I never stopped, and I still not, I cannot stop saying it, like acknowledging it. Like the first audition, the first in-person audition was like, oh, we are here in a room all together. And same in every first coming back, like every of the firsts coming back have been so beautiful. I think everyone has come back with such a, like a, I don't know, like recharged energy. And just, it's been so wonderful because, yes, the rest, I'm going to call it rest, was good to figure some things out and to let our bodies heal, you know. However, it was so wonderful to finally be back in a room, sharing with artists and learning from them and being in awe of them. Like, that is such a special thing that it's it cannot be created. The energy, the nerves that you feel at an audition, it's just, it's nerve-wracking in the moment, but it's truly special. There are not many professions that you actually feel that so often, that feeling of like, okay, I hope I get this, or I am, you know, I love this with all my heart. I just, you know, so it's so nice. Nice is an understatement to finally be back in a room with real humans sharing our art.
You know, you've been talking about sharing and all of that beautiful love that you get from being with people. So with the holidays here already, basically, yeah. Please talk to me about Navidad in Panama and what foods you miss and what foods you're planning to cook in New York City for Navidad, you know, Chebuena y todo eso.
Oh, I'm so excited about this question. So my parents are here, and we're going to share with my uncle. And I am Navidad en Panama is the best thing. First of all, the smell. It smells delicious because it's verano, like it's summer there. So there's a lot of like the burning of like dead grass. It's such a weird thing, but I love it. It to me smells like vacation. So it's just warm and delicious, and the food. Okay, so the food. I'm going to make arroz con pollo. Very, very simple, but I finally nailed down my mom's recipe and some plátano en tentación. And my boyfriend makes a delicious like ensalada de papa. His is incredible. He's from Spain, so it's delicious. I don't know if we're going to – we normally make like – my mom makes like ham. I don't know if we're going to make one. We'll see. Maybe we will because my parents are here. So I don't know. Maybe we'll ask if they want to like make a ham. I've never made a ham.
Que te consientan.
Ajá, sí, algo, oye. And I think other than that, oh, and a new favorite adopted tradition, coquito. I'm going to make coquito, which I know I am in love. Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to start like salivating. So I hope you have una muy feliz Navidad, happy holidays, feliz año nuevo. And I'm looking forward to hear from that secret project coming soon, I hope. And in the meantime, congratulations on West Side Story. It's now playing in theaters everywhere. And I would suggest to go see it in the biggest screen possible. It's an incredible experience. It's a holiday movie.
Yes. No, this needs to be experienced on IMAX. I watched it on IMAX the other day, and it was incredible. It was amazing. Yeah, no.
I love that.
Yes. Thank you so much for the beautiful wishes.
Thank you so much, Hilda, and mucha suerte en todo, y hasta la próxima.
Gracias.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.